Tuesday, 3rd of January 2017. My first post of the year. And I think you deserve an explanation as to where I've been for the last month, as I haven't posted anything to the blog or to radiofreeuk.org. First of all, rumours of my death are amazingly exaggerated. I have been very ill, though. I have to say, I've been very ill indeed, and it's not been funny, which is why, basically, I've not been able to post anything, because I've simply physically and emotionally and mentally just not been able to. When you're ill, you tend to just focus on that rather than everything else that reckons to be going on in your life. That's why I've not posted, because I've been very ill. There's been no falling out. I haven't left. I haven't abandoned Paul and the Radio Free UK project. It's simply a case of I've had to take a hiatus and take to my bed so that I was well enough to come back to you in the new year. If this is your first time to the blog, welcome. Thank you for taking the time to come along and to listen. You can download all of this content and for free, completely for free. If you'd like to donate, though, you can. There is a Patreon account. Just go to Patreon and search for Alan T. Shearer. That's AlanTSHEARER. If you'd like to help me out and ensure that this project can carry on, because we do have costs involved in producing this stuff. It's not free. One has to pay for server space and server time, and also lost travelling if you're doing research and interviewing people and all that kind of stuff. So it can get quite expensive. However, I'm still going to be providing this for you for free. It's simply a case of if you want to donate and if you want to help the project, it's not going to get me a holiday or anything like that or buy me the fancy new gizmo. It's going to pay for server time and internet connections and equipment to ensure that we can provide you with the best possible quality of service. So that's why I've got a Patreon account. And also, if you go to radiofreeuk.org, you'll see that you can donate there as well. There's a PayPal account, and Paul set that up. If you'd like to donate and help out, please go over there. Well, when I last posted, we just found out the result of the elections, and we knew the result of Brexit, but that is still going on. The Brexit scenario is still continuing. Not a fiasco from the Leavers' point of view. We got what we needed, we got what we wanted, which was a positive vote to leave the European Union, that Nazi fascist state. And the Politburo up there are not happy. And Jean-Claude Juncker, or whatever his name is, for the last year I pronounced his name wrong every single time it's come up. He's not been happy and has been putting a lot of pressure on Theresa May. Well, the British government are slowly but surely getting Article 50 sorted. They are looking to get a draft bill squared away. And the Remainers, the Remoaners are still moaning on. And apparently we are all now racist and xenophobic. And we hate everybody in Europe, apparently. Well, I can assure you that that's not true. I could use the old cliche, I've got lots of European friends. Some of my best friends are European. Well, they are. I've worked with a gentleman called Ole Demogord in the past, who's very European, and many, many others, and lots of people who are Remainers, Brexiters. I mingle and mix with them all, because, once again, I like to get a good perspective on what's going on. As you can tell, the voice isn't quite up to scratch at the moment, which is not good, but I'm getting there, and I'm slowly but surely getting better, and I hope to return to bring you more news each day. And, well, let's kick off with something now. Here's something from that bastion of the truth. Oh dear, oh gosh, it's funny sometimes, you know, it really is. It can get absolutely hilarious, this nonsense. So I'm talking about The Guardian. Yes, theguardian.com. Used to be a little regional newspaper in Manchester and then got too big for its boots, moved to London and became this left-wing bastion of truth, which is obviously ridiculous. Anyway, British-Irish trade network set up to offset the Brexit impact. apparently they have to offset something with regards to Brexit. Why on earth they can't just, you know, get on with trading and selling stuff to people and making money? That would be my advice. But anyway, the British-Irish Trade Network is set up to offset the Brexit impact. The service is designed to promote more growth in trade between Ireland and the UK after the referendum vote to leave the EU. And let's not forget that Ireland were forced, they were forced by the European Union to vote twice on the Lisbon Treaty. They voted against it the first time. They were told that was wrong. The European Union threw loads and loads of money at the Irish government. The Irish government made a point of making sure that everybody voted yes. They did, or it was fixed so that they did. And now we have the Lisbon Treaty, the enabling act of the European Union, which basically took away all our national status and our national rights as a country and turned Westminster basically into a rubber stamping place where they just kind of get all this legislation and go, okay, here you go, you have this and we're going to enforce it by law or we'll lock you away and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, this is by Henry MacDonald, the Ireland correspondent, and it's from today, which is the 3rd of January 2017. A new network to link up Irish and British trading partners has been formed to offset any negative Brexit impact on trade between the UK and Ireland. There shouldn't really be any negative impact, but anyway. The British-Irish Chamber of Commerce, the BICC, has launched the British-Irish Gateway for Trade Service, which connects firms from either side of the Irish Sea. Britain remains Ireland's biggest trading partner, with business between the UK and the Republic supporting 400,000 jobs and generating 60 billion euros, according to the BICC. Its chairman, John McGrane, said the network would promote more growth in trade between Ireland and the UK in the face of the Brexit challenge. Why is it a challenge? This is The Guardian, so let's carry on. McGrane said, quote, "At a time when businesses are preparing for Brexit, they appreciate a resource like BIG, which helps them to grow their business by being introduced to more customers and suppliers across the UK and Ireland." He continued, 2017 will focus all our minds on the importance of the trade between Britain and Ireland, which supports over 400,000 jobs. Firms on both sides of the Irish Sea are looking for more trading opportunities, and this new service supports the work of chambers and various state agencies to make those connections easier to find for businesses north, south, east and west. End quote. The new service will be backed up by the resources of BICC and the input of enterprise supporters. The new service, which is free to use for members of trade organisations, is now open for registration at www.bigconnections.org. This whole article has been an advertisement written, apparently, by Henry MacDonald, who's the Ireland correspondent. Basically, it's a big advertisement for bigconnections.org, which I'm sure is a pro-Remain organisation. BICC is a private sector trade organisation founded in 2011 to represent businesses and employers with interests in the two islands of Great Britain and Ireland. It says its mission is to highlight, protect and grow trade between Ireland, Northern Ireland, Scotland, Wales and England. I'm sure that if the businesses got on with it, they would find that their trading was doing very well, actually. So let's have a look at bigconnections.org, shall we? British-Irish Gateway for Trade. Trust in trade. Trade in trust. Small business introductions and referrals. And that's it. It's a way of connecting businesses. That's it. That's the big product that's been sold by The Guardian. More from Brexit then, and also from today, from express.co.uk. No vision, no courage, no leadership. Farage rips into Theresa May over Brexit failings. Nigel Farage has vowed to return to British politics if Theresa May fails to deliver the Brexit he believes the country wants. This is by Lizzie Strom from theexpress.co.uk. Published Tuesday, January the 3rd, 2017. Laying into the Prime Minister, the former UKIP leader said he was growing concerned about the MP's approach to Brexit because she has a, quote, complete lack of vision, of courage, of leadership, end quote. His comments show an alarming loss of faith, as back in July, Mr. Farage urged the public to give Mrs. May, who replaced David Cameron after he resigned in the wake of the referendum, quote, the benefit of the doubt. Farage told LBC on Monday evening, this is up to the Conservatives, this is up to Mrs. May. Now, she's very good at giving speeches. she's very good at talking tough. I was trying for the first few months of premiership and said so repeatedly to give her the benefit of the doubt. What I'm seeing now is a complete lack of vision, of courage, of leadership. After Britain's landmark decision to abandon the European Union in the June referendum, Nigel Farage hailed 2016 as the year the underdogs reclaimed power from the establishment. On a number of occasions, the MEP also boasted Brexit had sparked a political earthquake, which could send tremors around the globe as the UK had shown other bloc members it was possible to shake off the Brussels shackles. Hinting that he would return to the frontline politics if Theresa May did not respect the will of the British people, he said, "I think she needs to crack on. I tell you what, if she doesn't deliver, then in 2020 we will have to make an even bigger earthquake in British politics than we saw in 2016, all right? If it comes to that, I shall myself be back in the front lines doing something, believe you me." Farage's promise to return if Number 10 fails to deliver Brexit, it comes after he scolded Mrs. May for being indecisive over triggering Article 50 in this year's New Year video message. Speaking to his Twitter followers, the Leave crusader said, "What of next year? What does 2017 bring? Well, for us, finally, Article 50 will get declared. My goodness me, I wish it had been done months ago." The former UKIP leader said the PM has complete lack of vision, of courage, of leadership. If that was the case, we wouldn't now be waiting for the Supreme Court to tell us if Parliament can have a vote, whether the House of Lords, as well as the House of Commons, should have a say. But I'm afraid our Prime Minister has appeared to be somewhat indecisive. So she will trigger Article 50, will begin a process where I have no doubt that the Europeans will start treating us really badly and start threatening us. Adding another dig at Mrs. May, Farage said he would be kicking off 2017 by attending Donald Trump's inauguration ceremony on January 20th, despite the PM refusing to give him a role in official negotiations between the US and the UK. He finished his address by saying, "Don't make any New Year's resolutions that you can't keep. I look forward to revolution rolling into 2017. We've had an article which is, well, pretty much Remain and showing you how some people are trying to panic businesses and trying to get them to become pro-Remain because apparently it's going to be better for them and Brexit is going to cause them all kinds of hassle trading between Ireland and the UK. It shouldn't. The systems, the administration is all in place. And it's just a case of, well, we've used this system for the last few years, since the 1970s. Well, we can change, because we changed then. We've been trading perfectly well up until then. And then the EEC came along and started slowly but surely trickling in their legislation and slowly but surely dismantling ours and trying to make it really, really difficult for us to re-establish our administrative systems. And that's why these groups get together, because they say that they are a place where businesses can connect. From what I've seen and from what I've read, it seems that this group is basically trying to convince businesses that they'd be better off staying in the EU and Brexit is a big problem. And it gets business people worried because they can see their profits falling away. And that's basically all they're concerned about, isn't it? Making as much money as possible. Whereas this article is actually getting into the meat of things and basically saying, look, she needs to get on and stop kowtowing to these European unelected officials. And she's the one that's got the job. She's the one in the democracy that's got the top job. So she should be running things. Whatever you think of her politics, whatever you think of her personally, right now, she's the one in the big chair. And that means she's the one that should be running things and making the decisions. If she's not, then she needs to be replaced. Simple as that. And I would say that about anybody who's sitting at the top of any organisation, whether it be society or a business or a charity organisation. They're in the big chair. They're in charge. Until such time as they are replaced, whether they stand down or are voted out, whatever. Right now, we need to be supporting Brexit. Because if you look through the other parts of my website at radiofreeuk.org/blogs/Alan, that's one L, two A's, A-L-A-N. If you go along there, you'll see that there's a couple of audiobooks that you can, once again, download to listen to. One of them is about propaganda and how we are manipulated and how we have been by the media and by other organisations since at least the 1920s, if not before. And there's also the Nazi roots of the Brussels EU, which lays out the basis and the foundations on which the current European Union was built. Quite an eye-opener. Once again, thank you for taking the time to come along to the site and listen. I hope you find this interesting, and I hope you find everything else on the site interesting on radiofreeuk.org. Lots of work goes into it. We've been here at least a year, if not before. I've been with Radio Free UK just over a year now. Like I say, had to take a break because I was quite ill towards the end of December. But I'm back, and there's a couple of news stories for you with more to come. Take care.